ladies and gentlemen, welcome to NJPW Pro Wrestling Review. I am your co-host, the very sore Andre C. And right with me is the Dynamite Princess herself. It's Melba. How you doing, Melba?
Dynamite, I love it. Kaboom. I'm doing great today, Andre. I had a pretty okay leg day. It definitely could have been better. Just wasn't feeling it today. It was cold out. It's kind of a battle getting to the gym today. I don't know why every idiot in a truck was on the road in between my place and the gym. But that was a thing.
That's how it works.
I made it back alive, though. I arrived alive. I got my caffeine. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing okay. Again, my glutes and hammies are good. Feeling better today than from my workout on Friday. But, oh, Jesus. Right across here, man. Still. Oh. My pectoral and shoulders and whatever from the bench press.
That's what happens when you do the bench press.
I don't ever want to do a bench press again.
I mean... They suck, but do see some good growth on those things. The one I use isn't the same version that you do, though. You did the
Rich has me going on the Smith press right now to build my form. So it's not the free one; it's the one with it's like running along the tracks. But he said for now, while we're working, you'd rather me that one than it keeps me building proper form, and then afterwards it. And then I can move on to free bar later. And I'm like, I'm fine with that.
Yeah. See, with my shoulder injury, I'm a little sketchy with free bar stuff right now, just because the shoulder has been giving me some issues. So I use that press. I use the big boy machine. I don't know what it's called. It's a thingamajiggy. It does the same motion, but it's a sit down machine that you load your weight on. Okay.
I think I know. I was using that early on in my first block of workouts. It's just the machine weight one that you just do like.
Yeah, and you can either move them both at the same time or one at a time.
Yeah. So you can and it's just the two hands. It's just the two handles you grab onto and push up in front of you. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that one. I mean I struggle with it because you can't really control it with the weight on it as much. And sometimes she's little. She can't push too much. She feels a little embarrassed being on there pushing 25 pounds when she has to remove 90 from the last guy who used it.
Yeah, those are fun when people just, oh, you have one where you actually have to load it. Oh, the one at my gym is just it's just got the stacked weights and you just put the little peg in and it brings it up and down. That's the one at my old gym. That's the one I had.
Clientele at my gym. My gym is very old school. I can't complain about it though. They're nice people there for the most part. But in the early morning, should be questionable.
There you go. I gotta hit the gym up tomorrow morning when I get up. Oh,
but enough about the gym. Let's talk about the guys who are.
But I figured before we get into the New Japan Cup, I think we should talk about a little news that came out last night, right after we dropped out of, right after we finished doing our Japanese wrestling update on OLE. We got some news jumping off stream. Alex Coughlin, New Japan Pro Wrestling star, has retired. I figured this is big news. I think we should talk about it here because, again, this is a guy who I think has been absolutely awesome these last little while, has had his star really risen with the War Dogs coming to such prominence in New Japan. So I look at it and I go, oh, this sucks.
Very much so, yes.
Yeah, because again, it's sad to see him retire. Again, I hope he's okay. I hope it's not. I hope it's just he decided just to change up his life and he's going a different way. I hope it's not a forced retirement. And he did say in his tweet, I have it here, I'm retired, it sucks, now leave me the fuck alone. So to me that feels like he did something like an injury, and it's going to keep him from going forward in wrestling.
And it sucks to hear, because we know our good friend Ashton Pizarro, big fan of Alex Coughlin. Myself also a big fan of the strength of that man. The things that he very unique to himself, and he definitely was coming out to be the next like supreme powerhouse that NJPW had. I mean, he could lift people and things that he had no business lifting. It was incredible. But you're right.
So I say his gimmick always reminded me kind of Cesaro, because he's big, but he's not like gigantic, but the power things he does is insane.
You threw off my train of thought there. I had another point and I don't remember what it was.
Sorry.
Stop
Alex
doing
Coughlin.
that.
Alex Coughlin.
I am concerned also with the sudden announcement and also the way the tweet was worded, because we did see this back when Ocon had left on excursion with his partner, who had the same thing happen, unfortunately. Kitamura. Do you
Yeah,
remember
and then
him, the big guy?
he ended up passing away too.
Very suddenly, yeah, he was doing the bodybuilding route, and unfortunately, I don't know really what happened there, but unfortunately, he did pass away very young. I'm hoping it's not a similar situation where I think Kitamura was his ankle. I think he tore his Achilles. Not entirely sure. But
Yeah,
yeah.
my yeah.
I know it was
Yeah.
a leg appendage injury of some kind. I believe it was a torn Achilles. It was something on his leg. But
Yeah.
anyway, I really do hope that it's not something that's going to impact his life for the rest of his life, and that he can figure out something else to do with his NJPW money in the
Yeah.
meantime.
Yeah, and again, all the best to Coughlin in wherever he in whatever he does and whatever he goes forward. If he eventually gets a chance to return to wrestling, awesome. If this is the end for him, I will miss him, because I think he was an absolutely incredible talent. But I just want to speak on one thing you and me talked about after the show last night. Who could replace Alex Coughlin?
Oh, this, yes.
My idea, and I said to Mel, was Bolton Oleg. You take one powerhouse, replace him with another. Make Bolton the Bullet Club ju like their junior. Make him their junior, and he could be. And Mel has the best name. Bullet
Oh,
Bolton.
Bullet Bolton. Yeah. Bullet
So
Bolton.
good. Again,
I mean, you could have Gabe Kidd rebrand himself, be the shotgun, shooting the bullet.
Yeah, again, there's like again, I think that's a great role for him to roll into. Again, they lose their kind of big guy. And imagine the even more massive hulking size of Bolton Oleg backing up a Gabe Kidd in their tag matches. It's just even more impressive with that big of a man. Even bigger than Coglin, just yeah, it would be. I think it'd be great. I really do.
I agree. I also think it would be a really good place for Oleg to grow and learn, because you have someone as charismatic and just intense and edgy as David Finlay captaining that team. Then you have Gabe Kidd, who's just unhinged. He would really help Bolton, I think, really unlock that charisma that he's starting to really start to show us in the last few matches. I personally think it would be a tremendous idea. I feel like he could learn a lot from that faction, that group, Drilla Maloney too, Clark Connors, if he decides to resign. I don't know if he has yet or not made the
Yeah,
decision yet. I haven't seen anything.
haven't heard anything on re-signing, but he will be at the April 6th show in the Triple Threat tag team title match, IWGP Junior tag team title match. So I'm hoping he re-signed with his boys. I really do.
I am too, because I would hesitate to ask Cookie Maloney to or Drella Maloney to step up into the heavyweight division quite yet. He's doing tremendous, and I think he could tangle with some of the big guys, but I think he's got some stuff still to do in the junior division, I feel.
Well, I think the guy could have a great run in the singles, but the other issue is there. He's going to run into to his stablemate in Taiji Ishimori, and that's the, yeah.
We've seen how Bullet Club deals with Bullet Club problems. We're good.
It's very true. And speaking of problems, let's get into the New Japan Cup, and especially the first match of the New Japan Cup, because there's a problem. It's evil. It's an evil, evil
Everything
problem.
Everything is evil.
It's a very evil problem that New Japan has. Mm-hmm. So we kick it off. Tsuji comes out. Evil makes his way down to the ring, and Tsuji hits a Tope Suicida to him on the floor during his entrance. Mm-hmm. Togo attacks Tsuji, but Tsuji hits Togo with the Tilt-A-Whirl backbreaker. Tsuji tells the ref to call for the bell, so the ref does. Evil ends up fighting back. He runs Tsuji into the barricades. The ref gets knocked down. All of House of Torture come out to attack Tsuji. Bushi and Hiromu come out on their own, and the numbers overwhelm LIJ, and the ref just goes, call the match. And Gingino just yelling, Evil wins, Evil wins, Evil wins over. And I'm just like, what the fuck? And the ref, and it's been declared a no contest. So Tsuji gets the mic. He's challenging Evil to fight him again. I assume he's saying without their boys at ringside, because everybody goes, all the teams go to the back. And we get. And for now, and we get the match. It's restarted. So this is our second semifinal match. semifinal restart. Evil versus Yota Tsuji. They trade shoulder blocks. Tsuji drops Evil, hits a salmon splash for two. Evil rolls out. Tsuji follows him out, but Evil runs him into Abe-san. Evil then removes the corner pad in the ring. Back in the ring, Evil's pulling Tsuji by the hair and attacking him, and he goes for a pin, but the ref just like, nah, I'm not counting that. I'm just like, all right, I'm not going to fight it up this time.
It was Kenta Sato, wasn't it?
I don't remember which one it was. Might have been Marty.
I don't think it was it Marty? Marty always counts. Marty always counts. I think it was Kenta Sato.
Yeah, Sato and Red Shoes are like, we're not putting up with your shit. We're not going to let you cheat in front of us and account for you. Yeah, it's true. Evil whips Tsuji into the exposed corner, but can only get two. Evil with the chops to Tsuji, rakes the eyes. Evil stepping on his head in the corner. And then as Tsuji gets up in the corner, Evil goes to splash from the corner, but Tsuji boots him in the face as he's running and kicks him in the gut, grabs the head with the legs, and smashes the face into the ground.
He threw it on the ground.
He threw Evil on the ground. Where he belongs.
Aw.
Tsuji gets that backbreaker face plant stomp combo. He follows with another curb stomp, and then sets up Gene Blaster, but the ref gets tossed into the way. And Tsuji pulls up, doesn't hit the ref, but then Evil grabs Tsuji, puts him up on the ref's shoulders, hits the ref assistant, magic killer. Evil then picks him up, whips him into the exposed corner again, hits a lariat, but pulls Tsuji up on the pin, which was very like, you're a dumbass. Like, I'm just like, Evil makes bad choices in life.
Yeah, poor life choices were made in this one for sure.
Very much. You don't pull the person up from a pin. Simple as that. Like,
especially when you are like doing your damnedest to cheat to win. It's like, why continue? What he's supposed to be a bit of a snake. It was odd to see him do that. I mean, cocky as hell, because we know he's cocky, but like usually he's pretty slimy. Very interesting show of backbone.
So Evil's all cockier. She's like, I'm gonna finish with dirt, and hits Darkness Falls. But he only gets two, and Gino Gambino's line, what was he counting to three on, a sundial? And I just burst out laughing at that line.
Oh, Gino on commentary this tour has just been
gold. He's perfection, man. Like, he's just so good. Like, he's like, to me, he's the a good version of Jerry Lawler from 2002 and 2000 and like 2003. Because Jerry Lawler was annoying as a heel commentator, but he wasn't bad. I'm not saying he was bad, but he was an annoying one. Where Gino doesn't come off annoying, because for the most part, he calls everything very well, where Jerry Lawler was just annoying the whole time.
Well, but, I mean, except for when it comes to Bullet Club. Gino calls things very well.
Yeah, but he still comes off very well. It doesn't come off annoying. When he's making this shit, it comes off very funny and humorous. When he's siding with them, you're laughing at Gino for siding with these dumbasses.
Yeah, I laugh in the same way that I laugh at what I hear Booker T is doing on commentary in WWE.
I find Gino insanely funny. So Tsuji ends up fighting off Everything Is Evil, stops the whip into the exposed corner, dodges out of the way. Evil runs in the exposed corner. Tsuji hits a super kick. They're both down. Evil striking, getting strikes and getting lariats to Tsuji. But Tsuji hits a knee to the face, then hits that release Falcon arrow for two. Tsuji goes for the double jump stomp, but Evil slides the ref over and Tsuji stomps the ref. I laughed so hard when he stomps Kenta Sato. Oh, it was great.
You are cruel.
Oh, it was so good. How's the torture all back out? They attack Tsuji. They run the train as they call it on commentary, running the train of all the guys hitting him, smashing him in the corner. And then they hit dick to dick contact. Hiromu and Bushi come out, they get beat up, and then we get a dick and parry to dick contact as they both do the move to Hiromu and Bushi. So it's a dick and parry to dick contact.
I called it a double dicking, but okay.
I don't know. There's so many stupid things you could say for this team. They're just a bunch of
absolutely. Yeah, whatever you can say to make it sound worse.
A dick and goat. I don't know. He's always wearing mask. He's always wearing that goat mask.
He wasn't wearing it while he was doing the dick contact, though.
But he's the scapegoat. Come on. Evil hits a lariat. Evil gets a lariat, but Tsuji kicks out a 2.9. Evil goes for Everything Evil, but Tsuji does that Osprey backflip through it. Looks so good, and it gets like almost like he got him up on his shoulders and spun around him, spun him off the shoulders into almost like a Blue Thunder bomb. Gets a two out of that. Tsuji knees Togo, Tsuji knees Togo, but the ref gets distracted by Evil, and then the ref gets distracted by Togo getting hit, and Evil gets a low blow. Shingo shows up, takes out the rest of House of Torture, fights them all off. Bushi hits the mist to Evil, and Shingo gets the pumping bomber. Tsuji sets up Gene Blaster for the win. Evil finally got a taste of his goddamn medicine by having all his other buddies do moves to his opponents. Ah, screw it. They're going to do it to him. And it was great. It was great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This was so nice. This was a nice match, especially given what we had the night before with this bullshittery. Yeah. This was great. This was a really, really good match. Surprisingly good match, considering all the shenanigans that happened. Though again,
it was all in the last like 2 to 3 minutes of the match, and in that
little count out. But the shenanigans at the beginning, it was a great story. It was a really great story. It did exactly what it was supposed to be, because I was pissed off when the first chunk happened and they were like, no contest. And, rah, rah, rah. And I was like, duh, fizzity is this. I wanted a match. And then we got the match and I was very happy with this. But once the shenanigans did start the second time, it always takes the wind out of the sails for me. It didn't as much as it did in the past, though. I would actually compare the level of shenanigans that happened in this match to the level of shenanigans that we have seen Oedo Tai doing in Stardom. It was there, it was happening, it was a little obnoxious, but it wasn't as torturous as it usually is. Probably because Tsuji was involved, because he's just...
Well, and I think they really finally... Good. I think Shingo coming out at the end there to make the save, that really helped. And then them all ganging up to finish Evil off really kind of gave you that, screw you. You got what you deserved, you jerk.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sick and like I love I say this every show. Independently speaking, each wrestler within House of Torture is amazing and very accomplished as a
Except Togo.
single.
Or sorry, no, except
No.
Yujiro. Sorry, except Yujiro.
That fisherman hook suplex
Looks like shit.
No, you lie, it's good. But like each individual is good on their own, plus Peter.
Yeah, but he but it, not Yujiro sucks though.
She would not be there without him. Anyway, House of Torture, independently, they're great and accomplished and talented wrestlers, but as a unit, it just seems to be like bleh. It's garbled. I'm trying to understand where that disconnect is happening. Because hypothetically speaking, if you have that much talent, it should end up like a chaos unit where each person and group or whatever they choose to combine as. They're as popular as Bishamon, they're as popular as Okada, they're as popular as Sho and Yo when and Roppongi 3K when they were a thing. Like they should be able to do that but still be functional. And House of Torture can't seem to do that. And I can't understand why.
Again, it's the fact that they bring all the dirty tactics into it and all this cheating that eventually screws them over.
But like who's not managing the level of it? Because the shenanigans are great. It's just they're at a level right now where it's obnoxious. It's too much. Who is encouraging that and who is not discouraging that? Like, we need to find a balance where this kind of stuff can happen and it's not detrimental to the overall match and show. You know what I
True.
mean?
Yeah, I agree with you there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, it's just, I just, I'm getting sick. It's starting like going forward, I think we're going to be skipping some, depending on who they're facing, we might be skipping some House of Torture matches and just being like, that's the finish. It sucked.
Yeah, if it's not imperative to the story, I mean, there's no point in seeing it because we know it's going to be like 2 or 3 matches of good stuff, or sorry, 2 or 3 minutes of good stuff, and then it's going to be Togo with the Garrett, Ren Narita with the push-up bar, Evil with everything, and the ring announcer. Like it's too predictable. There's some signatures and stuff that should be predictable enough happening in the matches, but like it shouldn't be a list of how like House of Torture bullshit that we have to go through every single match. It's like pick and choose your thing. We shouldn't have the Santori surprise every match with House of Torture. We should ha and we shouldn't even have it every show. We should have it once every couple of shows. We shouldn't have Dick Togo out there with his Garrett every single match. He should be there, sure, but he shouldn't be choking people every single time. You know what I mean? Like, there's got to be balance. It can't just be them like regurgitating all of their stuff just for the sake of regurgitating all of their stuff. There needs to be function to it.
I agree with you 100% on that one. You had no argument for here. It needs to be reeled back. And let's have a few, let's have some matches where the interference doesn't happen. Let's do some stuff. Let's change it up. If you give me a match where they don't interfere at all, that'll get me back on board with the team. And if you cheat once in a while, I'm chill. I can deal with that. But don't
Yeah.
make your cheating everything that your team's about. That is my biggest
Maybe
problem.
we should like suggest like a clause or something where like House of Torture gets locked in a shark cage every match and they can't get out. They're just stuck there, all of them. All whoever is not fighting, just stuck in the cage and they can't get out.
Well, I think
Please.
Togo gets the exception because he does have a manager's license. While he's a wrestler, he does have his manager's license, so he gets the
Okay, the
exception.
Garrett will be what's used to shut the cage.
There you go. I can agree with that. I can agree with that.
There we go.
Because
Ideas. I got them.
Togo does have the argument that he does have his manager's license, and he can't he does have the right to manage his people. So I can agree with him.
I
I
mean,
but the garrote can be has to be tied into the cage.
yeah, even if it's just one person at ringside, it's better than the other freaking five.
It's true.
I will
Very
take
true.
one person being at ringside over the entire faction. I'd be happy with that.
I agree. We're gonna move on to something that was a very, very good main event on the semifinal show. It's Hiroki Goto versus Sonata. This match, I thought Sonata like man, he actually had some charm here and had some, like, playing off Goto, who isn't, and Goto has this weird charm about him. He's not, like, the most expressive person in the world, but he's like Shingo Takagi. He has that fire up. He has that fire up spirit, where Takagi has general presence always. I will say that, but he has that fire up that, like, Takagi has, and it really
gets the crowd going for sure.
Yeah, and again, it's just, I think it's, and again, he's been around for so long that he just he, one little movement that crowd's gonna be like, yeah, for him, right?
Yeah.
So, Goto, the last time he made the New Japan Cup final, no, it would have been, I think, against Kenny Omega in 2017, I want to say. And then the last time he won the New Japan Cup was 2012. So, again, I wonder if I have to look it up for when New Japan Cup winners. There we go. Found something. Where was it? Goto. Oh no! Last time he made the finals was 2016 against Naito.
Ah.
I was thinking of a different tournament with a different thing with Kenny. That was actually New Japan Cup with Kenny. I think no, it wasn't. It was another one. I can't remember which one it was, but yeah, the last time it was 2016 against Naito. Last time he's in the finals.
I think that's actually when I started watching NJPW. I remember that match.
I'm pretty sure he won the tournament in 2012 against Hiroshi Tanahashi.
That makes sense.
Yeah, but yeah, again, so this man trying to, like, really, like, so many years later, trying to rebuild himself and have that resurgence, right? That's what he's trying to do here. Going up against Sonata, who's trying to capture the same magic as last year to get himself back to that cup final, get him that win, and get him in that match, get another rematch against Tetsuya Naito. So they're locking up and feeling each other out early, chain wrestling, working the transitions. Goto drops Sonata with a shoulder, gets a hip toss, and then lariats him out to the floor. Goto attacks Sonata on the floor, but Sonata stops the whip and then drop toe holds Goto into the barricade, then brings him out into the exposed floor and pile drives him. Just pile drives him on the floor out of nowhere. And then Goto gets in at 18.
It was 18.
Goto fights back, but Sonata gets a Russian leg sweep. He gets a chin lock, but Goto gets to the ropes. Goto with chops. Sonata gets the boot, but Goto hits a lariat, whips him into the corner, hits the wheel kick and the backdrop suplex by Goto for two. Sonata with the hops, like, he's just hopping over everything. Goto running.
Yeah.
The hops this guy has is insane, man. The only person that beats him is probably Kevin Knight for just straight up hops like that. Like,
that's right.
Yeah. And he hits a drop kick, sending Goto to the floor, hits the plancha, plays to the crowds, like rolling, going around the ring, just like, come on, with his hand like on his ear and just waving his arm up in the air, just trying to get this crowd to fire up even more. And they're getting up, they're firing up, they're loving it. Goto fights out of the TKO in the ring, but then he gets Sonata on his shoulders, but Sonata gets off the shoulders, gets the skull end. But Goto gets out. They're each dodging each other. Sonata gets him up on his shoulders, hits the TKO, then he goes up to the top for the moonsault. But Goto gets out of the way, but he lands on his feet, and Goto gets him up on his shoulders. Ooh, Shigaroshi, and both men are down. They raise up, strike battle at center. Goto unloads, dropping Sonata, but Sonata catches the chest kick. Goto gets Sonata up, tries for the GTW, but Sonata stops it and gets Goto on the ropes for the magic screw. Sonata kip up and hits the Shining Wizard, applies skull in as Goto's about to fade out. Sonata lets go, goes up for the moonsault, and actually gets it for once, but only gets two. Usually this almost always results in the knees going up. So I was like, wow, he actually... He actually hit it off the skull end. Because it's when he does the moonsault in other situations where he gets it, but this one of the matches versus the moonsault for other situations he didn't get, and the skull end moonsault he got. It was really weird. Goto stops Deadfall, hits a headbutt, another headbutt to Sonata, and Goto gets him with the PK. He gets the chest kick, but I was watching racing this morning. Sonata, I was thinking of Yuki Sonata there. Sonata backslides out of the GTR for a two count, then gets an old Connor roll for a two count. The Shining Wizard is hit and is hit, but then Goto reverses Deadfall into GTW for two. Then he gets the GTR for the win. Hirooki Goto going back to the finals for the first time in 8 years. 8 years later.
Yeah, baby. Yes.
Yeah.
I have been loving on Goto since I started watching.
I so wish we would have got him in Finley's match. They have to do a singles at some point. Like, they really do. I need to see that match, man. I really do.
Mm-hmm. I agree. That match needs to happen. Because that could have been a banger of a match. You kind of got everything that I kind of written down. It's sentimental for me to see Goto win this one. Because I honestly had hope that Goto would win, but I honestly thought Sonata was going to pick up the win after this. And I was concerned. I was concerned about the final. Because we've kind of already seen that mix, right?
Well, it was last year's Tsuji's return match was against Sonata for the title.
Yeah.
And it was fine. It was fine, but it wasn't great.
No, it was okay. So I was concerned, much like I was concerned for the second coming of Sonata and Jack Perry. But that was a pleasant surprise. Just go around despite all the shenanigans that came with it. We knew there would be no shenanigans or anything in this match. This was going to be the cleanest of the cleanest matches I think we would see in the cup.
Yeah.
Just because chaos just doesn't support each other. And, you know, just five guys, they come out when they're needed. I was very happy with how this match went. It felt like just a classic, good old-fashioned match, start to finish. But you're right. There was an interesting level of charisma and charm coming out of Sonata in this match that I think was heavily influenced by Goto. And I think it also hyped up Goto quite a bit, because where Goto isn't over the top, he doesn't undersell anything either. He sells appropriately, maybe a little under because he's a little bit more subtle with his selling, but in this one he was selling so good. Mm-hmm. His facial expressions were so different. He could see the range of emotion that he was feeling as the match progressed. And the same thing with Sonata. He was showing, you know, he's usually very stoic when he wrestles. We were seeing bouts of not excitement, but like parts where Sonata was maybe getting a little frustrated, a little tired. Showing some frustration. And same with Goto. It made for an incredible match and an incredible main event.
That two very stoic people who both have the ability to be charismatic if they need to. We've seen Sonata, when he was Cold Skull, be insanely charismatic. It's shaving the beard. That's what did it. It's getting rid of the beard. That
beard was pretty mangy.
Well, it's like the guy that if you cut his hair, he lost his power. That was Sonata. He cut his beard and he lost his charisma.
I say that with rappers all the time. When they cut their hair, they lose their rapping ability. It's true.
Except Eminem.
It really is true.
Except Eminem.
Eminem has always kind of had the same length of hair, though.
Well, he had that like blonder, little bit longer hair early days, and then he's like shaves it down to like nubs now, and he's only gotten better over his career. So,
I was gonna say, I feel like that's a little different. That's a little different with him.
Yeah,
he's always kind of had that same short do So for me, like the difference between the blonde and the dark, it doesn't make so much of a difference. I'm talking like Ludacris.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah. Yeah.
Or Busta Rhymes, you
Well,
know.
although Ludacris was great on the halftime show this year when he came out for Yeah, I mean, he was pretty good.
Because, yeah, I mean,
Yeah.
yeah. God, I remember when that song was first released. Let's move on before we start to feel too old.
Yeah, I do too. That was almost
No.
2 decades ago that song came out.
It was. It came out when I graduated high school.
Oh, then it's over 2 decades.
Fuck you.
Well, no, because I'm just about my 20-year graduation, so trust me, I understand. Next 2025 is 20 years. It's 2000 January 10th, 2004. So yeah, 20. It's
None.
just it's now 20 years old. Holy crap! Yeah.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that song came out in 2002, 2003.
Well, it says
That
released
was
in
when I
04.
graduated.
It says it's released in 04, so
Really? I
yeah.
didn't think it was that far after I.
Yeah.
That doesn't feel right.
I
Something about that timeline isn't adding up for me. Anyway,
Wikipedia says. It's
back
what
to the wrestling.
Wikipedia says. We go on. We're going to talk the finals. It's Hiroki Goto with Yoshi. And Yoshihashi was at ringside for Goto in that match. He was just kind of. So it's one member of Chaos is supporting him at least. So same thing with this
Yes,
match.
his pole buddy.
Yeah, his pole. Sounds so wrong. Hiroki Goto with Yoshihashi versus Yota Tsuji. Tetsuya Naito is out there. He is on the Japanese. He is a Japanese commentary. And again, we're not talking the rest of the card. Chris Charlton's back. Loved hearing his voice on this show. It's like, yay, Chris.
Yes.
I love me some Chris Charlton. They're locking up, feeling each other out early. Chain wrestling on the ground. Tsuji gets a hammer lock. Tsuji gets a chop to the chest on the ropes. They get a test of strength. Tsuji gets Goto to his knees. They start the shoulder blast. Goto smashing into Tsuji. Can't drop him, but then he hits the hip toss. Then he drops Tsuji with the shoulder block finally. He gets that chin lock with the knee into the back. But Tsuji fights out. He gets an arm drag and boots Goto. And Goto ends up going onto the floor. Tsuji then hits the Tope Suicida to the floor. Scoop slam for two by Tsuji in the ring. Big chop, snapmare, and then gets a body scissors, which is kind of new to the repertoire of one Yota Tsuji. But
A
Goto
very
does it.
lucha move, though.
Goto fights and gets to the ropes. Goto misses in the corner, but comes back with a big lariat. He gets the whip into the corner and then gets the wheel kick and the backdrop suplex out the corner for two. Tsuji fights back, hits the backbreaker face plant stomp combo, gets a stinger splash in the corner, and then hits a shoulder block and the salmon splash by Tsuji for two. It's just the Ultimate Warrior splash. Mel just has a weird fixation that it looks like a salmon, but
Looks like a fish. I love that they were calling it Mount Tsuji for a while. Now there is no mountain, there is no nothing. Unless he's just swan diving off the mountain. No, he looks like a fish coming out.
well,
And
that's
I
what they
swear if
call.
he wiggled a little bit, he'd look like a salmon swimming upstream.
Well, that's what they were calling it for the longest time. They were calling it Mount Tsuji. And then lately, whenever Chris or Walker calls it, they just call it a splash now. So I'm just kind of going to the salmon splash now.
It's a salmon splash.
Yeah, Goto blocks a suplex and they're dodging each other while running. Tsuji hits a strike, but Goto gets him up, hits an Ushiguroshi. Both men are down. They trade strikes at center. Tsuji goes down. He unloads. But Tsuji comes back unloading with shots, but Goto hits the invert, gets him into the inverted GTR, crushing the chest. He follows it up with another Ushiguroshi for two. Tsuji then backslides out of the GTR and then into the Falcon Arrow for two, and then gets a two. Curb stomp by Tsuji. He follows up with the double jump curb stomp, but Goto kicks out of that 2.999.
Nine, nine, nine.
999. Goto slips off the shoulders of Tsuji and gets a rear naked choke, but Tsuji is fading. But Goto lets it go. And like Tsuji's like almost out. I'm like, dude, you're pulling a Sonata here, dude. Come on. Just choke him out. Be a Joe. Don't be a Sonata. Choke them the hell out. Like crazy.
Just do it.
He lets go, hits the PK. Tsuji ends up fighting out of the GTR. He hits a headbutt, but then Goto comes back with his headbutt, then another, and then many more, dropping Tsuji. Goto picks him up, looking like he's going for a suplex, but then sweeps him down, pulling out a move I haven't seen him do in so long. He hits Shoten Kai, his old finisher, Shoten Kai. Literally Charlton yells, he won in 2012 was with Shoten Kai. But Tsuji kicks out of that 2.9, there, and then Goto gets the chest kick, but Tsuji comes back with the flying knee, dropping Goto. Tsuji lines up Goto for the Gene Blaster, but Goto gets the lariat, to stop the Gene Blaster. Goto gets like him in like the Okada ripcord position, ripcords him out, but then Tsuji ducks down and hits the Gene Blast off the ripcord. But Goto kicks at that 2.9. You have Charlton and Walker both yelling, "Nobody kicks out of the Gene Blaster." So he lines up, he gets over into the corner, 3-point stance. Tsuji hits the Gene Blaster for the win. And then post-match, Mr. Tetsu and Naito comes out and they have a little conversation in Japanese that I don't know what the hell they said, but it's essentially setting up the April 6th Sakura Genesis show match between these two.
Yes. Yes. All the yes. I don't know. I feel like the Ripcord Gene Blast, he didn't get to get the full power on there because it was definitely a far shorter, smaller distance. He wasn't able to get that momentum power behind it before he hits like he usually does coming out of the corner for sure.
I'll agree with that, because it wasn't even him hitting the ripcord. Goto ripcorded him to do a move. I feel like Goto was going for Rainmaker there. I think Goto was going to like bust out, like, I'm pulling up my old, I got to pull out a Rainmaker here. And so he just knew the reversal for it. So, yeah.
Yeah, and if it was a true Rainmaker, we would have gotten a Rainmaker pose too, right, beforehand.
Mm, true.
Much like
true.
Didn't we get it with Cobb? Didn't Cobb try it when he started got it?
Yeah, but when he puts his arms out, he makes sure he does this. It's for signaling for the Aloha Maker.
Yeah, I like that. Dust my nails off here, and I called this one. I'm so happy for the first time ever. I have had someone actually not even make it to the finals, but I had someone win. This is what happens when you don't pick Kenta. Win.
Yeah, I gotta stop picking with my heart, man.
This was still a heart pick for me though, but I've been on the Tsuji train since he left, let alone when he come back. The unique moveset that he has, I really truly do think is a future for strong style and professional wrestling just in general. He's got such a cool and unique style. And then this, just the look of him, he looks larger, but the things that he can do are very junior-esque. Like he moves with the quickness and just flexibility, mobility of Bushi. But then he's the size of Tetsuya Naito. It's incredible.
He's bigger than Naito.
I was going to say, looking at this picture comparatively, he actually looks thicker.
Like he's looking, and he's also looking down at Naito a little bit. So he's standing over him almost.
Yeah, he's got the head tilt kind of going on there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That trophy, though. I love the look of that trophy.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. We got to make our own or something. Mount Ball will DUI something.
DUI?
NJPW. Why not?
DIY, not D. You don't want to be drinking on, you don't be driving on an influence, girl. Come on.
No, absolutely not. I have seen the very bad results of that, especially lately. God help us.
Oh my God. I was just like, what? No, DIY. The tag team from WWE DIY.
Hold on. Let me refuel my. Okay, I got some caffeine in there. I think we're good now.
Melball's a rock star.
DIY. Yeah, I try. Yeah, this match was so good. It was so nice to have the last two matches of this cup where, like, we got traditional great freaking matches and clean matches. There was no question of the winner in the last two matches here. Which is nice, considering we've just been tortured for a lot of this tournament. Please don't do this again. Like, this is the cup now. The next one will be the next big one coming with the singles will be the G1, right?
Next. Well, we got Super Juniors, but does House...
There's
House,
only, they, like...
They've got Togo and Sho. They got Togo and Sho.
Togo?
So. Yeah, Togo's a junior.
Kanemaru would be in the Super Junior before Togo, though.
Yeah, okay, but Togo, Kanemaru, and Sho all possible entrants to the Super Junior this year.
Jack Perry.
He's a heavyweight. I think they're going to classify it. Because, again, he's in this tournament. I feel like they're going to classify him as heavyweight. Yeah, I feel like they're going to classify him as heavyweight.
That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever House of Torture is, they're always going to be a fracking problem until they aren't. Yep. But, like... I really hope that this isn't a perpetual problem where House of Torture is going to be ruining these tournaments, because they were very close to ruining this tournament for me. And when it gets hard to watch the tournament because of the participants, like I've said this, I made this comparison to you before with the Millennial Rebels here. It's the same thing. It's the same kind of conundrum where it's a push. It's pushing people out the door, not bringing them in. So yeah, I mean, we used to see tons of House of Torture stuff in the crowd. Now we don't. And they start doing their stuff. We used to hear the occasional cheer pockets from people up in the rafters and stuff who did like House of Torture. Now we're not even getting that. It's silence or booing or both. Like you'll have the pockets of boos and everyone's just sitting there going, no, go away. It can't keep happening. Because it could overshadow amazing moments like this. I was really scared that we were going to end up with a House of Torture main event. And that, oh my God, would have destroyed everything about this. I am so happy with how this tournament ended. It was like starting to go downhill for me. And then it got saved in the last two matches. I was like, thank goodness.
Mm-hmm. Again, like while Evil and Tsuji's match was actually a really good match throughout. Mm-hmm. There were shenanigans before and after at the end of that match. It mm-hmm. was the only time that I, again, like we said on this show earlier, it was the least torturous match of all the House of Torture matches so far. Mm-hmm. And I would say the only one that comes close to that is maybe Narita versus Sabre, because that was like a 95% match. And then it was that last like 2 minutes that they just ruined the match with.
Yeah, but then we could say the same thing with Sonata and Perry, because that was actually a solid match too until House of Torture got involved. Mm. It's so funny. I feel like every House of Torture match with individuals from House of Torture, that's kind of what we end up saying. It yeah. started off as a great match, and then House of Torture happened, and it went to shit.
I think you and me are just so used to watching these multi-man tags with House of Torture, and being the fact that it's like, there are three or four of them, so they're always cheating. There's always one of them distracting there, so they're always cheating the entire match. I think that's why we have such disdain when we go into a House of Torture singles, and then we're like, oh, the match was great up until the interference. Like, I think that's my biggest problem.
Because when it gets to be too much, it becomes very unenjoyable. I'm all for shenanigans, especially if they make sense, but the shenanigans have to make sense. And there's a lot about House of Torture that doesn't. I think that's where my biggest problem is.
So, yeah, just going to pop it up here. Yeah. Sakura Genesis 2024, April 6th. We'll have coverage of that coming out.
Is this the official poster?
they always put these ones out early. Like they make these little graphics, like that are just like cut off graphics, and then they'll like on the day of the show. That's they post them up on Twitter as the matches are happening. That's where the nice actual, you get the nice actual graphic from, and that's what I always
see. They cut off half the title there.
Yeah, no, they'll have an actual night. This is just the ones they build and put on New Japan World for match announcements. They've been doing it a lot. Like they don't put out. They used to just put the proper nice graphic out when they announced matches, but now they've just been putting out these and then putting the real graphic out on when they're posting to lead up and the day before the matches and everything. So that's where I steal all my graphics from is Twitter.
It's just interesting to see the belt half cut off.
That is very weird.
Ooh. Wow.
Oh, way too big. Hit the wrong button.
The fizzity up.
You don't want to be that close to this. You don't want to see this face that close up. Trust me.
Ooh, I had like an Aladdin moment there. It's like too close. A little too close.
But we have come to the end of another episode of NJPW Puro Wrestling Review. Not Revo. Man, what is wrong with my words today? You can find me English. You can find me on the X, Mastodon, Blue Sky, and Hive at That Canada Guy. TikTok and Instagram and Threads at That Canada Dude. You can find me on Facebook at Andre and Melball Wrestling Talk, or over on our YouTube page, youtube.com/@AndreMelballWrestlingTalk. Just get a hold of us in any of the comments there. You can also find us over on Sunday Night's Main Event.com. All our Stardom review and our New Japan Puro Wrestling review shows will be over there, simulcast over there in audio form. If you don't want to be watching on YouTube, you can check them out in audio. Just download a podcast all quick and fast and put it on your podcast catcher. It's easy there. If you do go to SundayNightsMainEvent.com and just add them to your podcast catcher and give us a 5-star review if you can. And if you want to support Sunday's Main Event Radio, who do a great job with all the great content they put out, go to patreon.com/SNME Radio, $4 per month to support them. You can also find me over at twitch.tv/OurLocalEstablishment. This week, so as this show comes out on Monday, I will be on tonight for a Ghostbusters review with my boy Bobby Bunsen and Alex. We're going to be talking, Alex Ecto Guy, that Ecto Guy, I think is his actual Twitter handle. So it's a Ghostbusters Twitter handle, and it's my boy Alex. So we're going to, the three of us getting together, talk some Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, which I loved. So that's a preview right there. Wednesday, I will be back with my boy Ole Ed to talk Marvel talk for MCU Rebound's Avengers review. Looking forward to talking that. I have talked to a friend of ours about a special guest position on that show. I guess got to run it by Ed. I think he's cool with it because he mentioned it first. So I'm going to hopefully have a special guest on that one talking the Avengers. And then Friday, me and Mel will be back with another Japanese wrestling update if we can. We have a very, very busy week this week between shows we're doing for for the channel, shows we're doing live, shows we're going to be attending. And Mel's got a show with Astra she's going to get done this week. So there might be a chance that Japanese Wrestling Update might not appear this week. If that doesn't happen, we'll be back on April 5th with a very special live edition in the middle of the afternoon. Talking, it'll be a Stardom review crossover because we'll be talking the Stardom in Philly show, the American Dream Philly show, talking all that ish from Philadelphia at the WrestleMania weekend for Stardom. So yeah, and there'll be a GCW match in there for Siri, or for I think it's Siri versus Masha Slamovich. We'll be talking that one too.
Yes.
And then one more shout out for me and then Mel can talk because I've been talking forever. YouTube.com/@BackbreakerVideo. Our boy Mike the Rest simulcast all our stuff over there. You can find stuff from us. All the old wrestling content Mike has up there. You can find his AEW watch-alongs there. And you can find a lot of content from Astra Pizarro also over there. Killer Cuts is a simulcast over there. Great show. Go check that out. You can, if you want to see Mike's Twitch watch alongs live. Go to twitch.tv/MikeTheRef. You can watch along with him on Wednesdays and Saturdays for AEW Dynamite and Collision. You can also find all his gaming content all the other days of the week there. And if you want to replay those gaming content, go to youtube.com/@Backbreaker_gaming, where you can find content from him, Mr. PJC, Mr. Rick Jules, and their freaking guest, Kayla J.
Kayla J. Love Kayla J. Where's your Rick Jules sticker?
I never picked it up.
Sean.
Skywalker. Sean Skywalker. I get it. You're talking about Sean Skywalker now?
Sure. Ay, ay, ay. If you're wanting to follow Melville, you can find her on the X thing at Collins Melville. You can find her on everything else, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Mastodon, and Blue Sky at Melville Collins. You can also find me, as Entree mentioned, on our local establishments programming, Japanese Wrestling Update with this guy, usually on Fridays at 8 p.m. Mountain Time. You can also catch me on Astro Pizarro's YouTube channel, where we do our show, Ladies Wrestling Showcase. We are hopefully having a show coming out this Friday. We'll be getting that done in hopefully Friday morning before the chaos of Friday night. Hopefully.
What about the chaos of Thursday night?
Yeah, I have to do with that too. Yeah, good times. It's going to be worth it though. Be worth it for the match. But yeah, stick to our socials to see when that episode is coming out. And hopefully in a few episodes, we're going to be having a special guest on there. So stay tuned to the socials to see who we announce for that. Also, what? If you're wanting to watch NJPW, we will leave a link in the description box below. It is njpwworld.com. It is 999 yen, or approximately 10 Canadian. Shout out Sean Spears. Congratulations for being back on NXT, but it's actually more like 750, according to my bank account, because that's what it said this month. Still an amazing price to watch some amazing professional wrestling. Andre, my trusted friend and colleague, do you have anything else to say to the beautiful people?
No, I just want to say thank y'all so very much for joining us here again. Please, if you're watching on either Andre Melville Wrestling Talk or Backbreaker Video, please like the video, subscribe to the channel, comment down below. Please share us out to your friends, family, creatures from the Black Lagoon, and all the others. And don't forget to hit the notification bell so you can be alerted every time we drop a new video.
Ding dong.
Hello?
I would not want to answer it if it's going to be a freaking swamp monster. No, spank you.
if you are listening on Sunday nights, Main Event Radio, please, if you can like the podcast. I don't know if you can like podcast. I don't know. I can't on my podcast catcher. Also, give us a 5-star review if you can. We really would appreciate it. And if you want to support, go to patreon.com/SNME Radio. $4 US per month.
Awesome sauce and possum. And that being said, I am your Melville. Over there is Andre. We will see you next time. Adios.